and know that I am God. And Lord, in a world of busyness, of instant meals and instant messages and phone calls and emails, it's so rare that we stop to fully appreciate who you are. This morning we are thankful, Lord. We are grateful from the depths of our heart for your presence in our lives and in this church and in your body of Christ. We honor you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, while we were praying, interceding for the service this morning, you gave me a vision, and I'd like to share it with everybody, Lord, just being obedient. It was a picture of a very big chain. One of those, I don't know if any of you have gone to the cargo ships at the docks and seen the massive, massive anchor chains that anchor these ships that are hundreds of thousands of tons. The link is almost the thickness of my body. And on it was like a tiny, I thought it was a chisel, but it was more like an injection, actually. And this injection was sitting disproportionately in size on top of this massive, massive link of chains. And almost like a light came down and almost like a thumb pushed this injection into the link. But the whole injection disappeared into this big metal link. And it looked like it was completely ineffective. But the next moment, this chain link burst from the inside. It was a pressure that built and burst open, and there was pieces of metal that went in every direction. And Father, I was just reminded as we were worshiping, Lord, that if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, Lord, that we can say to the mountains around us, move, and they shall move. So we thank you today, Lord, that across this room, there are going to be chains that get broken from the inside, Lord, because we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Father, that I can stand in unity with everybody else, declaring that we have a great expectation for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm going to ask the ushers just to take up the offer. As I mentioned earlier, that last week we had scheduled a testimony service where people from the congregation come up and share. And obviously that wasn't on God's heart for this Sunday. And there was a very last minute change. And this morning, it's a great honor and a privilege to invite one of the leaders in our church, Pastor Sias, a mighty evangelist, a mighty, mighty man of God, a giant in the spirit. And I know he's shaking his head right now because he doesn't want me to say this, because he's a man of humility. And it is because he is so humble that the Lord uses him so powerfully. That is the reason, his humility. And just to give you a little bit of background with CS, Angus Buchan tried to steal him. He actually offered CS a job to be his next in line. But CS believes that he is called to this house, Shofar Ministries. And he is in charge of all the church plants, all the mission teams that go out, all 42 countries that we have visited. I think you've probably been to about 40 of them. Yeah, maybe even all of them. I don't even know. But he's been to a lot. And he sacrificed a lot. But the Lord uses him mightily. He single-handedly has discipled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of university students at Stellenbosch University. He started the School of the Supernatural. He started the outreaches at the rave parties. Obviously, this is all done with teams, but he has an incredible ability to disciple young men around him, kind of like Jesus. So today, as we invite you up to speak, I pray that everyone sees Jesus here. Not Sias, but Jesus. So I thank you, Father, that we can just pray for Sias. I pray for an anointing on him, Lord. I thank you, Father, that he is a mighty, mighty son of yours. Lord, I thank you for this humility that will never leave him, Lord. I thank you that you always continue to use him in powerful ways, Lord, because he loves you, because he stays connected to you, Lord, because he has your heartbeat, Lord. He has a heart for the lost, for the broken, for those who are disenfranchised from you. We thank you for your anointing that breaks the yoke. And we stand with great expectation and unity today to see you work through him again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sure. My name is Peter. Sias just went out the door somewhere. Yeah, that was rough. But thanks for that. I receive those words. You know, it's really all about God. It's not about us. It's not about people. God uses ordinary people like you and me. And so won't you just shake somebody next to you and say, "Yo, I like that smile on your face." it's a privilege to be here. I decided I'm going to wear my most flashiest shirt that I have, because I thought one day I'm going to have a more flashy shirt than your pastor, Yanni. I prayed that he would wear a dull shirt today, and he did. Because the Lord answers prayer. So it's actually amazing to be here today and see the confirmation. But now Yanni and Kat, we really love them. They've become such good friends of ours. And it's just great to be part of a family of what God is doing. Like I said, there's a team of people, and that's why it's so important that each one of us here begin to discover what God wants to do in your life and through your life. Because I'm always humbled if I see these two people sitting here in the third row. I remember, I think it was in 1989, the third charismatic church that I came to was this church. And then they were here. And they still had a morning speaking on Russia and going to the nations, and it inspired me. I was still a chokaki in grade 9. And so it's just so amazing to see what God is doing, and that so many years there are people faithful to the call of God. And I'm always amazed, because I'm thinking, like, the people that's going to sit in front in heaven is not going to be the people that had a microphone in this earth. It's going to be the uncles and the aunties and the grannies that have prayed their families into being. And I'm standing here today because I had a grandfather like that, that went from farm to farm with some book and a kiri. And if he didn't obey and repented, then he would hit the people with a kiri. So if you are going to fall asleep in this sermon this morning, you don't know what I've got underneath you, okay? It's not a kiri, but I'll hit you with the money back. No, I'm only joking. That's only a joke, okay? Before I talk too much nonsense, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is eternal, and that we, Lord, your word it never returns void to you. It accomplishes, it prospers in the thing that you have sent it for. And Lord, today as people, we stand back, Lord, and I ask that your word will reign in our hearts, and it will produce fruit. Because Lord, we don't just want to be hearers, we want to be doers of your word. And we want to thank you for that freedom today, that we can say our hearts are soft, we are hungry, and we are thirsty for you alone. Not for the opinion of man, not for nice songs, but for the living God. And that's our heart's desire, is that you break every piece of hardness of our hearts. Lord, that you come to chisel away the things that misrepresents Christ, and that the only thing that will remain is you and Christ in us, the hope of glory. And thank you, Lord, this morning that you open up our eyes to see, so that we can know your ways and your will and do them in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been preaching on one scripture for 3 times this week, and I'm going to continue doing that, but I'm taking a completely different angle, and it's Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Because I think one of the biggest challenges for us, and especially in the charismatic church, and I want to talk especially to charismatic type of people that are familiar with the gifts of God and the fullness of God, is sometimes we get so used to getting used to doing things in a certain way that we lose our expectation and we lose our faith, but we especially lose the ability to see who God is and to walk in revelation knowledge. And if the moment when we start to walk away from a revelation of who God is, we start to do things and it becomes rules and it becomes regulations and it's a lot of things that we do. Now, remember going to Iran this year and being there completely out of our culture, completely having a certain expectation and having a certain way of thinking. Of, you know, we came there and for 3 days just hanged around and walked around and trying to make contact with the people, with the Christians there. And after only 3 days, suddenly they pitched up there in the little hotel, gave us a piece of paper and say, okay, in 3 hours we'll see you at that address. And whoops, they vanished again. You know, now you don't know who these people are. You don't know where they come from. In the end, they've become such good friends. And staying with them for 2 days, the Lord said that He's going to use us. Now, the moment when you think that God is going to use you, you have like this idea, you know, like pray for the people and heal the people. And God said something that changed our lives, because as we were sitting there, the Lord said, today you're not going to pray with your words. Today you're going to pray with your tears. And I'll never forget that moment when we were sitting there and there was a lady, she didn't understand English. She waited for 1.5 years to get baptized, because normally they have to go out of the country to get baptized, and people aren't really, you know, very quick to baptize people. They really want to make sure that they are Christians and that they're following God. And that was a moment to get baptized. We baptized her in the bathtub that evening, and we were started to worship, and she was just crying all the time because she was so grateful for the presence of God. Just to be there, just to be able to worship God with other believers, because we were in the house for about 6 days and we never went out of the house. It was closed so that nobody could hear, and we just prayed for the nation. And she fasted for 21 days just to make sure that she's prepared for baptism, you know, to be ready. And so suddenly when you sit there and you're surrounded by people like that and everything is so familiar and comfortable to us, you sort of start to think differently about how we worship God and how we do things. And I remember that morning we started to sing a song, and the next moment the Holy Spirit just came, and exactly what He said. He said, you're going to pray with your tears. And we were about 18 people there, and we started to weep for that nation. And we started to break for just the things on God's heart for that nation. And we wept for about 7 hours nonstop. It was just like big men, you know, like those who gym for fun as well, you know. The huge guys, everybody just weeping before the throne of God and realizing that, you know, once you encounter God and His presence, He starts to change things in you. He starts to use you not through your fancy words and your fancy songs, because there's really nothing you can bring to God. But the one thing He is interested is in your heart. He's interested to touch you in a deep part where you become the message. And it's not the words that you say. It's who you are that will change people's lives around you. And I remember after this moment or these couple of hours of being there, for the next 2 days we were like vegetables. We were just sitting in the house. We were so tired because of this encounter with God that changed our lives. And we came back and still, every time I think about it, I'm just overwhelmed by the presence of God and realizing that God wants to use us in different ways, but there's something we have to give up, is a bit of control, a bit of our own way of thinking, and especially our culture. God is not against culture, but God wants to establish a way of living in us. And here's an encounter that God has. There's probably just 2 or 3 people that God showed Himself to in Scripture in who He really was. And most of the Jews in those days, and especially in the Old Testament, they believed that if you see God, you will die immediately because of the glory of God. They didn't even mention the name of God in full. And so Isaiah was this guy. And we're starting to read from verse 1. Are you ready to go? Thank you for your enthusiasm there. Okay. Are you ready to go? Okay. Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." That's not how he said it. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." It's an exclamation mark there. Okay. "Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here am I, send me." You know, Isaiah had a couple of encounters with God, but this was probably the main one that changed his life. And Isaiah lived in a culture and with a group of people that Scripture talks about as a hard-necked, stiff-necked group of people. And his message was to these people. His message was to say that God is alive, but God wants to deal with them, and God wants to take their hardness of heart, and he wants to break it. So Isaiah was not it wasn't a comfortable place of ministry. It wasn't a comfortable place, but there's an iniquity and something that God had to deal with, but first he had to take it out of Isaiah's heart. And so Isaiah sees God, and it's this amazing place of realizing, wow, God, you know, he falls to his face and he has this encounter with God. And then God talks about, you know, this iniquity, this thing, and the Old Testament has a couple of other words for it. It talks about crookedness or perverseness, and the New Testament talks about the same root word as lawlessness. It says basically, Isaiah, I want to invite you to my story. But Isaiah, there's a couple of things I want you to see differently. I want you, when you start to see me, you're going to change and you're going to start to behave differently, because you're not going to be a law unto yourself. You're not going to try to do things just because you do it because you're so smart. But once you've seen me, you have the ability to represent me. This is what we're talking about today. Just two weeks ago, I went paragliding. How many of you have ever gone paragliding? Okay, make sure that you've repented of all your sins before you go. Okay, so you go up there, up into the air, and it was like, I was supposed to fly 8 minutes. In the end, I flew like 48 minutes because the wind blew all over the place and we couldn't land and we went all over the place. But afterwards, I was so amazed, not just about having a long flight because all the other people were jealous, you know, was about being up there and seeing the whole of Cape Town and how differently it is when you are up there and you have the ability to see from a different perspective. Because suddenly Cape Town becomes very small. If you're down driving here, going to the red robot, stopping at the red robot, being frustrated because you're late at work, it's like the huzz and buzz of the city and all the stuff and the people are running around and people are doing stuff. But when you're up there, suddenly something begins to change. You get a perspective. You begin to see. And suddenly, that's why most of the times when God would speak to people in the Old Testament especially, and even in the New with the Mount of Transfiguration, God would take his people up onto a mountain because he wanted them to just look at some stuff in a different way. And this is what's happening here with Isaiah. God comes to him, and we see this picture of this angel flying over, taking a coal with a tong, so there was briar place in heaven. Amen. That's what I read out of that. You know, so they had a good barbecue there. And so taking this coal and putting it on his lips and purging him, because the first reaction that Isaiah has is, woe, I am a man of unclean lips and I come from a people of unclean lips. He realizes that something needs to change the moment when he sees God. God doesn't come to him and say, oh, you sinner. Oh, you bad one. God doesn't condemn. But the moment when you see God, the first reaction that you will have is, woe is me. Because in relation to God's glory and his holiness, something begins to change inside. Because you can see. Now, many times, you know, we become a prisoner of our own culture and of our own subcultures. Even in the charismatic church, we have a great subculture. Oh, brother, you are blessed. And then Yanni says, no, 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 I don't want to be blessed anymore. Because, you know, I don't have a lot of hair left. Okay, so you are the favored one. Okay, Yanni, you're the favored one, pastor. Okay, but it's amazing when we say, oh, I'm so blessed, you know. Now we begin to talk, I'm so blessed, it's so wonderful. And then somebody says, no, but you know, your car is just broken down, your life is falling apart, and now you just say you're blessed. But it's some stuff just becomes like cultural many times in the way that we think, the way that we do stuff. And then many times we exclude other people. We exclude masses of other groups because we find comfort many times in our subcultures. And then it's so easy to not allow other people to come in because of just the distance thing. Sometimes it's a language thing. Sometimes it's a socioeconomic thing. There are many things that keep us from not opening up our hearts. But you know, we do exactly the same with God. We say, God, if you come to serve me and you come to bless me, then do you know what? Then I will serve you. And God is not interested in that. God says he's got a plan and he's doing things. And he's inviting us like he's inviting Isaiah to come and be part of what he's doing. And so, let's just look at some of the stuff. Have you got it on here somewhere? Oh, just go on a little bit more. Okay, we become a prisoner of our own culture. Sometimes, it starts right here, in our lips. In South Africa, it's fear. Do you know that the greatest motivational factor in our country is fear? People do stuff out of fear. When you listen to yourself talking about the nation and the government and this stuff, it's negative. But you know, God cannot use us as believers if our mouths have not been sanctified. If we have not learned to speak life. Sometimes shame and condemnation. And then the inability to see God, his holiness and his glory. Because we are veiled many times through our culture, our perception. And then some big ones. We don't have boldness. Many times we don't have relationship. And then many times not the heart for other people and other groups because of our own inhibitions. Do you know the good news is that the most people God used in the Bible were people from small places and small towns. Then God would start to use them in a process. But Abraham, just imagine, coming from a place called Ur. Please don't call your children Ur, you know? And so I love this interaction when God calls somebody. He says, Abraham, come out from where you are, because I want to bless you. And I want you, in you, all the families of the earth to be blessed. But you have to come out from where you are. God doesn't give him specifics and says, okay, Abraham, on day 3 of month 3, you are going to see a sign that's going to tell you exactly where you need to go to. Then turn left at the second water brook and turn right at the 7th one. And then, you know, I will lead you every step of the way and give you very clear instruction. Because you know what? Most of us want that. We want to say, God, okay, give me the 10-point plan for the next 15 years and then I'll come out of Ur. But Ur was full of idol worship, you know. So God says to him, Abraham, where you are, I cannot bless you. Because of the idol worship and because of your culture and because of where you come from, you have to come out. Get out from where you are. Now, do you know that principle for many of us, it's still exactly the same. We are so trapped in our fears or our, the accusations that the devil give us, and then we're stuck there, and then Christians remain there because they come all the time and say, oh, please pray for me. Oh, please, I'm such a victim. And God says, you make a choice. You step out of that and begin to trust me. It's a life of faith. That's what we live. But as long as you remain a victim to your circumstances and to your culture and to your past and those words that people have spoken over you, do you know what? You're going to be trapped there. Until you begin to step out and say, okay, God, tell me what you say about me. Release your word, because your word is the truth. Now, God wants us to move out from that. So, how do we start? Just a couple of quick things with Isaiah. The first thing is we must have a hunger and a thirst for God, ability to see God. Because, let me be honest with us. The angels stand here in front of the throne of God, okay? And they're busy worshiping God. They're not panicking. Did you know there's no panic button in heaven? There's no red panic alarm button that when you sin, then God sends the seraphim over, fly over quickly, push the panic button because Pity has sinned again, you know? We're going to get contaminated here in heaven because his sin is going to blow over to us, you know? God doesn't panic. There's an old thing that says, has it occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Have you realized nothing occurs? Nothing catches God by surprise because he's not in our space. He's eternal. So, I remember going to Angola, and I'll never forget it. We're sitting there. I'm sitting next to the road because now I'm beginning to panic because we need to get through to have a big outreach in the northern parts of Angola, and they've got all these different regions. You can ask Valalem, he was with. He's a witness. So I'm sitting there, and it's hot, and I'm moaning, and I'm complaining, and I'm the leader, and we're sitting there, and I'm just saying, okay, God, why did you bring us here? Lord, when you said we must come, and now I'm sitting here in the heat. It's 3 hours later, you know, and now tantrum. So I can just imagine God sitting there and say, angels, look at him again. Okay, let's just wait a moment. Let him finish his tantrum. And after 3 hours, my tantrum was finished. So I said, okay, God, speak to me. How are we going to get out of this? The next moment, a guy stops there that's got on the way through to Namibia that says, he walks out of the car and comes to us. He says, can I help you with your papers? I want to help you to get the right stuff to go through. Then this policeman comes and he brings a fax that says that one of the guys organized for us in Angola. He brings a fax to us right after that moment. He brings a fax and he gives us the right to go through some of the states there or the regions there. As we drive off, I realized, but this guy said that the electricity is off and it's been off for a day and a half. So I'm thinking like, did the angel bring the fax? Or most probably a day and a half ago, the Lord already organized before the electricity was off for that fax to come through because he knew we were going to sit there. So he's made provision long before we even got there, even when we got into the nation, for that fax to come. Hi. So nothing occurs to God. God doesn't wake up one morning and say, oh, I've got a bad day today. You know, God doesn't go there. Shake your neighbor and say, it's time to see who God is. Are you still with me? Thank you for your enthusiasm today. Okay, thank you. I'm only warming up. We're only starting with the introduction. Okay, the service is going to start. No. Okay, So when we look at Isaiah, we have to first see what the angels see before we see what Isaiah sees. Isaiah's focus is on himself, but the angels, as they're standing before the throne of God, they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then they say these words, the whole earth is full of his glory. Because that's the truth. God is moving everywhere. God is doing the most amazing things. But if you're going to be a cultural Christian, And you're going to look to yourself, or you're going to look to all the circumstances around you. You will never see the glory of God, but the angels see it, and they say it all the time. They say the whole earth is full of His glory. And when you have the privilege to go to many nations, you begin to see everywhere you go, even in the most remotest villages up in Nepal, or up in, or in the most horrific places. You can ask Loya, he was with me in Pakistan, in Karachi. The most dangerous place on the face of the earth to live. In the week that we were there, there were only 22 bombs that went off, and it was a very, very mellow week. But you know, when you go to those places and you find Christians there that are doing God's work and they're praying and the church is growing and things are happening. When you go to Iran and you see all the pastors are in jail for more than 3 years already and the church is growing and people are full of the joy of God and full of the life of God. You begin to realize that God has a different dimension. God is doing amazing stuff. It will not go on to CNN or the local news because those things are not newsworthy according to the world. But the whole earth is full of His glory. And that's why it's so important that you, in your life, you begin to see where is God moving and what is God doing. Because the moment when I focus on that and I don't focus on all the negative, bad, critical stuff and on myself all the time. And all you say every day when you wake up, that's the prayer of my life. I say, God, what are you doing today? Where are you moving? And I want to be part of that. I want to see your glory today. I can't rely on yesterday or tomorrow, but today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. So you need to see what God is doing. Then we need to sanctify ourselves to that purpose of God. Sanctification is a word that has been lost, especially in the charismatic church, because everybody says just grace, 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 more grace for you, grace, grace to sin, grace to go, grace to sleep around, grace, all of that stuff. But Scripture is very clear. Grace enables you for righteous living. I got that from Bull Johnson. Okay, but in any case, grace enables us for righteous living. Grace does not enable you to do more sin or to look away from your sin. Grace empowers you to do God's will. Grace really hasn't got anything to do with sin. It's the ability to do God's will. When you're weak, He becomes strong. So in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1, I'm not going to read this whole scripture, but it talks here in verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." In verse 7, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." You know, one of the biggest traps in the church today is pornography. Sexual immorality. The secret sin. But what is the power of that thing? It's very simple. One thing. It wants you to see something else. It's visual. That's why television, whatever you want to call it, it makes you see something else than God. It puts a veil over you so you begin to fill your life with other things. That's why, even especially with sexual immorality, it says you sin against your own body. Because you begin to get yourself into cycles and you become blind to see the glory of God. And that's why sanctification and consecration is so important in your life, where you set yourself apart unto God, spending time with Him, filling yourself with Him, coming into a lifestyle of holiness. Because holiness isn't like sprinkle him with water and run around and be like weird. Holiness just means to live a separate life unto God, a separate life from the world. You're in the world, but you're not living like the world. You're living a standard of God's holiness because you understand that His standard is so much higher. And this is what Isaiah sees here when he falls in front of God. He says, "Woe is me, because God, you are so majestic, you are so awesome." I remember one day one of my kids came running in with my glasses in her hand, and the one little arm was bent to the front and the other one was backwards. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, okay, this is a problem. This thing is going to break now. So she was standing there and, "Oh, look here, Daddy, look what I found." And I'm thinking like, ooh. And I realized if I'm going to grab what is in her hand, and pull it out of her hand, it's going to break. Because it's going to be like tug of war. And then, do you know what I did? I realized there was a sweetie next to the on the table. So I took the sweetie and I said, look what I've got. And then she let go. Yeah? And that's such a beautiful picture. God is not interested in your sin. Because if he's going to tug a war with your sin all the time, it's going to be difficult for you to let go. But the moment when you see his goodness and who he is, it leads us to repentance. We let go of all the other things because God is not sin conscious, but God is holy. And when you see who he is, automatically you're going to let go of all that other things. Hello, somebody in the room. Shake your neighbor and say, he's almost finished with the introduction. Okay, cool. Let's go. Okay, so God wants to establish a new culture of holiness in our lives. And I love this scripture in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want us to read this together. Okay, are you ready to go? Okay, thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Whoa. Beautiful. We are a nation of priests. A nation of people that can stand before God and represent the people to God. And then once we've been with God, we represent God to the people. We say, this is what God is saying. We know him. He's a holy God. He loves you so much. But he's not just love me. He's holy. He's different. And you have to come out of the Ur of Chaldeans. You have to come out of the stuff that binds you in your head and the stuff that keeps you away from him. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So the story is really then about what happens at the end of this story. Okay, so we're gonna get to the service now. We're gonna get to praying for people. That's when the service starts. Right at the end, I have this picture. I have a bit of an imagination, and I love talking about this because this is a moment in my life that God changed me a couple of times. I remember once when there was sometimes when you have these encounters with God. I remember when I was in grade 11, I struggled with depression. Nobody knew about it, and I went to one of my friends at school. I was here in Paul Boisei, and I went to him, and he was a great friend because we got saved together, got spiritful. And I went to him, and I started to tell him, look, yeah, I struggle a bit with depression. I don't know, but I don't want to label myself or anything like that. But I realized that I have this heaviness that comes over me. And sometimes I just don't want to wake up in the morning. There are two ladies like that as well I want to pray for today. I can't wake up in the morning. It just feels like my whole energy, everything is so down. And he looked at me, and he said, ach, no, man. You're just thinking this stuff up, man. It's nothing. Turned around, walked away. Kish! Yeah? Suddenly, I was shocked out of my system. Because here I'm actually sharing my heart, and this guy doesn't understand where I come from, obviously. Because a year later, told me that, sorry, he just didn't know how to handle the situation. Because I was like always this bubbly type of guy, and he never knew that I actually struggled with all this stuff. And there's some people in this room, you must stop pretending when it comes to God. You cannot fake what's in your heart. God knows. And it's time that you open up your heart to him, because stop faking. The only way that God can bless you and reveal himself to you is when you become real, like Isaiah. Woe is me. I'm miserable. I don't know what to do. I'm not trying to fix myself here. Because you can't fix yourself. You have to surrender to God. You have to open up your heart and your life to God. And then you have to do the other thing. You have to open up to his people. And once you start to do that, you're going to find life. But as long as sin and stuff in your heart is secret, then that thing will have a hold on your life. Because that's the power of sin, is it's secrecy. It's just you and the devil. And then sometimes you cry out to God. There's some people here that struggle with cycles of rejection, and I believe God wants to deliver you today of those things. Because you'll come into a meeting and then all you feel is just like you feel unworthy. That's from the devil. God does not motivate us through intimidation or fear or confusion. So, right here at the end of the story, after God has cleansed Isaiah, Isaiah stands there, stands up again, and it's God. God speaking to himself. And I love this picture. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, but they're having a conversation. Just Isaiah standing in front of them, little Isaiah, mighty God, the seraphim, all the angels are standing there. Now God asks a question to himself. He says, "So, who will we send?" And Isaiah is standing there. It's only me. You know, I can just imagine. Now he goes to all of his options. Me, myself, or I. Some people call it the Holy Trinity of self, you know, because they worship just those three. They don't want to worship the other Trinity. But so standing there and thinking like, okay, we've got a problem. Lord, is that a rhetorical question? Should I answer it? Should I not answer it? You know? But the most amazing thing is this encounter that Isaiah has, because he saw God, it was so easy for him to respond. And he says, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. You freed me from all this stuff. You've broken the chains of my life. But for one thing, is so that God can commission you to go back to share his story with others that cannot see him." If we as Christians remain in a culture of, "Lord, bless me, Lord, heal me, Lord, you are here for me, Lord, come and even fix me, heal me, deliver me for my sake," you're going to miss God. Whatever God does in you, listen to me very carefully, is he wants it to be a ripple effect into the nations. If we don't understand that, we will miss the heart of God, because he is the Father of the nations. And that's why we get these scary scriptures like in 2 Chronicles. We all know them. And I'm going to jump a couple of slides here. I'm just going to mention the scripture. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, repent of their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will come in and heal their land." The answer for this nation is simply lies in what happens in the hearts of God's people here this morning. The reason why our nation is in such a bad state is not because of the people that don't know God, it's because of the people that know God. And once we repent and we turn back to God, turn from our wicked ways, do you know what? God comes in and he heals our land. Because then we represent him for who he really is. And this scripture in Philippians chapter 2, just go to the top there. Listen to Jesus. "For let this man mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a bondservant. And he was made in the likeness of men." Let's go to the next one. "And being found in the likeness of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name." And then it goes on. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Everyone that has ever walked will one day need to do one thing. It's bow their knees, whether willingly or whether unwillingly, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Everybody, whether saved or unsaved, one day at the day of judgment will talk and see the glory of God. And that's why we live. That's why he came. And that is why the ultimate place of surrender and the ultimate place of life is when we come to the cross And we understand what great, great humility God came to portray. Leaving all of that glory to serve you and I. To tell us how much He loves us. Leaving all of the worship, all of the things Isaiah saw, God left that, became a man so that we can truly see God. And that is why not one person in this room or one person on this earth will one day be able to stand before God and say, God, we could not see what you were doing. And God will judge us on that basis, on what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And now for us, on the other side of the cross that has accepted the blood of Christ, it's time that we begin to say, God, I want to see you in your glory like Isaiah saw you. Because I want to reflect your glory in the earth. God, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Use me. Despite me, God, despite all this stuff, because if Yanni told you all this stuff, I'm really thinking about somebody else that he's talking about, you know. But you know, one day I stood in front of a massive map. I was 9 years old. Didn't even know the Lord. And I said, God, do you know this world is big, but you're bigger? I couldn't speak one sentence without stuttering. I went to school a year later. Only when I was 7, not when I was 6, because I was so afraid of people. Het gehakkel. And you know what? I stood in front of that map and I said, God, you are bigger than this man standing here, or than this map, or what the people say about me. I want you to use me. And I was not even saved. And so nobody in this room has got an excuse who can point the finger at God and say, oh God, my circumstances, oh God, my past, because this person said all of that. God heals us from that stuff. He takes away that iniquity. He takes us out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. He takes us out of the place. But it's so important that you and I begin to say, okay, God, it's not about me, but here I am. Send me. Use me. Take me into my workplace, into the schools, into wherever I go. I want to see your glory. I want to know your glory. Lord, I'm not going to stand at the end of my life wanting to regret anything or any moment that I missed you. Because I live and I'm here to please God alone. I'm not here to please man. I'm not here to have the opinion of man say, oh, this or that. I only want to see, stand before God one day and say, where He says over me, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, my son. You served me, you pleased me, you were obedient. And for some of us, it will maybe mean something very small. For some of it, it will may mean you go to all these nations. But one thing, there's something in your heart that God wants to break. He says, come out. Come out of fear. Come out of that mediocrity. Come out of blaming the whole world for all this stuff and come to the cross. And at the cross, you'll find my purpose. And I invite you to be part of that, to spread my glory. I want us to stand this morning. You know, sometimes we think that God exists for our happiness. I've got good news for you. God exists for His own glory. God is not selfish, but God is different. And the moment when you and I think that God came primarily for you or for me, we are deceived. God came because He loves and because He's God. And there comes a place and a time in our lives, and regularly, I think if I would speak to Johnny or some other people that's been running the race much longer, I think the more you grow in God, and I gave my heart to the Lord in 1989, okay? So that's like 24 years ago. I was a chokkerkie clueless about life. But the more I get to know God these 24 years, every day I'm more humbled. In the beginning, I would assume lots of things and talk about lots of things and even demand that God would do a lot of things. Very selfish. But then there comes a place in your life, and please, when I especially talk to the younger people under the age of 25, respect the older people and go and hear their story. And go and learn from them. It will save you many troubles. Many years. Because these gray hairs are there with for a purpose. And older people, don't be intimidated by the songs that are more funky or all that stuff. Just have an open heart, because we're all growing all the time. We all must be open all the time to grow. And it takes great humility when every day you stand before God and you say, God, I'm just so thankful for the fact that you use me. I'm just so thankful for the fact, Lord, that you speak to me, that your presence is in my life. And I'm never going to take that for granted, Lord. I'm never going to walk away from becoming self-righteous and full of pride and say, yes, but I'm so great because I've done all these things and I've been to all these nations and I've... That means absolutely nothing. It just happened. For me, most of those things just happened on the side almost, when I didn't expect it. But you know, God is great and He's awesome. And He's glorious and He's holy. And there's a generation of worshipers that are coming to Him and opening up their hearts. And they say, God, despite me, here I am. Despite my culture, I'm not going to believe those lies anymore. I'm going to begin to follow you. And that means, Lord, it's going to be a hard road. It's going to be a tough road. There's going to be great fun, great times of worship, but also very, very tough times. Sometimes things are going to happen to you that you're not going to understand. The time when I was in the greatest sickness and pain in my life was the time when I saw the most healings. People get out of wheelchairs, deaf ears opening up and blind eyes opening up, and even a dead man raised from the dead. But I couldn't sleep at night because of my own pain in my own body, and God didn't heal me. Then you ask these questions, but then all you can do is surrender. And you say, God, you are glorious. And I need to move. I need to change as I'm following you all the time. I cannot rely on yesterday. So there's some of us today that are trapped in our We're trapped in our place of comfort. We're trapped in that place of our fear. And maybe you're here today and you don't know God. Maybe you've lost your first love. That ability just to stand in front of God and be madly, madly in love with God. Because as we grow older and we, like Christians, we become so professional. But God said, the only way you can see me is if you're a child, if you come through humility. So I want to speak to people whose hearts have been hardened. And maybe you've even got a reason for that. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been offended because people have spoken stuff over your life. And God will never speak negative things over you, but it's so important that you come to Him and say, God, here am I. Woe is me. I want to see you again, God. Maybe I want to see you for the first time for who you really are. And Lord, then I want to dedicate myself for your glory, to see your glory cover the earth. I want to see that, Lord. So the first group of people that I want to talk to and pray with, if you're here today and you've lost your first love, you've lost that ability, and you can do all the rah-dee-da, all the loud noises, but when you're home at night, alone, going to bed, you realize that you're far from God. You haven't been speaking. There's a lady here. You haven't been speaking to God for the last 7 years. And the Lord says, come, I want to hear your voice. But you must come out from where you are. So if you've lost that first love, just that ability to be in love with God, where He's your everything, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand where you're standing, because I want to pray for you. While every eye is closed, just quickly, And I don't care if you're the pastor or the zone leader or the anointed man of God or anointed woman of God. If you've lost your first love, that ability to just love God, then I want you to raise your hand quickly and say, that's me. Because it's very simple. We just come with a little prayer. We come with a little place of just saying, okay, God, this is it. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I want you to raise your hand very high and say, that's me. Because it starts with honesty. It starts with humility. It starts with coming to where God is and saying to Him, yes, Lord, I want to surrender my whole life to You. Because I'm so needy of You, God. I'm so hungry for You. I'm so thirsty for You. Anybody else? I want you to raise your hand very high. Say, that's me. Because today God is going to renew. Just like in marriage, sometimes we have to renew our marriage vows. Sometimes our marriage partner reminds us of those marriage vows. But you know, there's a place in our hearts where we surrender to God and we just say, yes, God, all the bags of cement, all that stuff I lay down because all I want is Your presence in my life. Now I'm going to ask those people to be very bold because it's going to take a bit of confidence from you. But the reason why we do it like this is just symbolically that you step out from where you are and you say, God, okay, I don't want You to come and meet me where I am. I want to meet You where You are at. It's just a symbolic thing we do to call people to the front and say, part of my confession, I'm coming out of the earth, coming out of my place of mediocrity. I'm coming out of my culture. I'm coming out of my fears. So if you want to renew your first love with God, and He's going to do it already, then I want you, and you've raised your hand, or maybe you've not raised your hand, I want you to quickly step out from where you are and come and join me right here in front. On my left-hand side, your right-hand side. Just quickly come, because we want to just pray with you. We want to just have a moment with you. Because it's so important that we just say to Him, God, life has been throwing stuff at me. Life has been going at me. And it wants to break me. And the devil just has one thing in mind. He has your faith in mind. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy your belief in God. He's got nothing else. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The second group of people that are here today is people that must come to a realization today that God invites you and me so that He can use us for His glory. And you must come and assign yourself. You must sign up. You must register. You must say to God, God, today I realize that I've had all the excuses in the book, but today what I want to do is I want to start saying yes. Like Isaiah said, yes. Here am I. Send me, Lord. No strings attached. No buts. No, but if You, when You come through for me, then I will do that. Just as You are, You have to come. Comes a place in your life where you say to God, okay, God, I'm willing to let go so that I can go. I'm free to go because of Your call on my life. God has been speaking to you in that way. I want you to step out from where you are and come and join us right here in front. Because you need to just say to Him today, God, I have been putting all these buts and these ifs and these stuffs and all this stuff. But today I realize, Lord, that first I must say yes. And especially people that has been using excuses. You've been saying all the right stuff at the wrong time because of lies and because of being a victim. And there's so many reasons. Or because of offense in our hearts. And I just want to say to you, God wants to use you. Because you are precious to Him. He wants to use you, sir. And He wants you His glory to shine on you. And especially to make you a father to many people. Okay? Where it's not about the stuff that has happened in the past. But every day is a new day. Every day is a day where God takes your brokenness and He takes my brokenness. And He comes to say, I place worth on you. Because that's what Jesus does, eh? He will never reject somebody that comes to Him. And He will never reject you. And He will never turn His face from you. Because of His love. And I just see many, many children, spiritual children that God is going to raise up through your life. And especially through healing. God wants to use you through healing. And the Lord is just saying to me, just lay your hands on them, okay? Just lay your hands on them. Just do that. Everybody that comes to you, just lay your hands on them. You're going to see how God is going to start to move. Not because of you, not because of me, but because of that deposit in your heart that He's done today. And the same for you. God wants to say to you that you're beautiful. And I just see bridges being built. Bridges that will connect people to each other, and where there's been just broken up, blown up bridges and wars that have been fought. But God says, He makes everything new. He makes everything new. So that you can wake up every morning with a song in your heart. You've lost that song a little bit, okay? But He's going to give you that song back. That song just to sing and just to be released in His fullness. And your desire just to protect. You've always wanted to just protect. And God says He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to show you. And for you, lady, some of you have been praying, and I just sense there's been arrows that have been shot at your heart. And God says He's putting up a shield today. He's putting up a shield. And all you need to do is just say, yes, God, Your presence be my shield. Let there be a fire. There's some of you standing here today, you feel very unprotected. And the Lord says today He's gonna come and surround you. And He's going to be with a song. It's called the Song of Deliverance. Some of you have been trying to fight too hard. Sir, you've been trying to fight too hard. But all you need to do is just say, yes, God. Because He wants to raise you up in such a place. I just saw a picture of you standing on the mountain. And all you're doing is you're just waving a flag. The flag of His glory. Net 'n vlag wat jy kan waai. And He's going to give you that flag. And for you, lady, the Lord says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's great desires, great deep, deep prayers that you have been praying over all the years. And He sees your faithfulness. He sees your faithfulness. He sees your desires. He sees the stuff, even the tears that you have cried. And even sometimes this, you feel like, whoa, all of the seeds that I've sown is in vain. But God says they're there. All the seeds are there. Every seed that you have sown, God looks over them. He watches over those seeds and it's going to come up. It's going to come up. Lord, I thank You for Your life over every person. Yeah, I want us to all just pray a prayer together, a prayer of surrender, if that's all right. Okay? So let's just close our eyes and let's open up our hands like this, like we're going to receive from God. So Lord Jesus, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Father in heaven, woe is me. When I look to myself, I find no strength and no abilities to follow You. But I thank You that You are always looking at me, always looking towards me with a love in Your eyes and a burning flame in Your heart for me, for us, and for the world. And today, Lord, I pray that You will come with Your eyes and that You'll ignite that fire in my heart again for Your things. But more than that, for You, God. When I wake up in the morning, Lord, I want to see You. When I go to bed at night, I want to see You. I want Your glory to fill my life, fill my heart, for my household, for everybody I know, for my community, and Lord, more than that, to fill our nation and the nations of the world. This morning again, I bring You my fish and my bread. It is so little, Lord, it cannot feed the masses. But once You pray over it, it will multiply. It will go where I cannot go myself. So today, I surrender my heart to You, God. I surrender my life to you. I repent of trying to be in control. I repent of the wickedness in my heart. And I put you on the throne of my life. I want to worship you. I thank you for your blood on the doorposts of my life. I thank you, Lord, for your blood that witnesses your life in me, Lord, over me, God, in Jesus' name. We're going to just take oil, and just for a moment, I want every eye just to be closed, just for a moment, just anoint you. And we're going to pray over you. And we're going to pray just God's release over you. Hallelujah, Father. We want to thank you, God. Thank you just for your glory. We pray, Lord, that all the old things and all the old ways of thinking will depart, but your life will come. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that they will only have eyes for you. Only eyes for you. Not eyes for their circumstances. Not eyes, Lord, for the fears in their hearts, but only eyes for you. George, will you guys come and just help and pray? As we're anointing these people, there are people here today that are struggling with sleeplessness. You cannot sleep, insomnia. You're really struggling to sleep at night. I want you to come out quickly because we want to pray for you. You're struggling to sleep, and there's like these patterns over your life. It's just like you're very tired. And those two ladies that I spoke about, or that heaviness over your life, I want you to come out as well. And there's somebody here you've lost. You've just lost the desire to live. You've lost the desire to live. And I want that person to come to me specifically because I want to pray for you. Because there's actually an assignment of death over your life. And this is how your life is. It's, you have these major ups, very emotional highs. But when you strike the depth, the it goes underground and it really feels to you like it's the end. And you've struck one of those lows this past Tuesday and Wednesday that just passed in this week. And I want to pray for you because we need to break those cycles over your life. There's also somebody that's struggling with stomach ulcers. Okay, you've got stomach ulcers and the Lord wants to heal you. I want you to quickly come out. If you need prayer, I want you to come and stand right here in front because we want to pray for those people that struggle to sleep. Don't stand at the back. Just come right to the front. Just come here in the middle. As we're going to just pray and for a moment just worship God. Then there's also a man here. For the last 7 years, you've been struggling with intense migraines, okay? Intense migraines, and you're on medication. You regularly take very strong medication for that. And I want to pray for you. We want to pray and break that cycle over your life, okay? So won't you just come and stand right here in front so that we can anoint you? Can we just sing a worship song just very softly?
Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. shine it all around. First help me just to live it, Lord. And when I'm too weak, well, help me to never seek the crown, for my reward is bringing glory.